Hello? There you go. Look at this. They gave me technology. I don't have the hand mic. Doesn't Lee know I could break a Pez dispenser? Hey, can we turn these lights down a little bit? Thanks. How you guys doing? 4th of July. Here we are. Worshiping the Lord Jesus. It's pretty cool. Anyway, my name is Ramsey. There's some new faces out there. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I see a lot of new faces. That is awesome. We got people from other states here today that I met this morning, and that is wonderful. Thank you for sharing this Sunday with us in our home here. Like I said, my name is Ramsey, and Mac asked me to share a little bit on this 4th of July. And, you know, we kind of were pondering what to share a little bit, and I appreciate the opportunity. And we're going to share on two words that start with F, and you guys are probably saying, it's Ramsey, it's football and fudge. No, it's not football and fudge. It's freedom. Could you imagine that on the 4th of July? A little bit of freedom. How did that weave right into it? Freedom and friendship. And that, more specifically, freedom and friendship of our Lord Jesus Christ, my best friend. You know, and it wasn't always that way. He wasn't always my best friend. And I am just grateful that God seen fit to, I guess, to mold me, to take the time to bring me here. You know, and we're all here, and we're home. And I'll say a little quick prayer here of home, because this is kind of like, this is a breather. This is like the little, we get time right now to just worship. It's just us and Christ. That's it. There's no more tents. There's no more booths. The parade's tomorrow. The fireworks were last night. It's us and Christ right now. We're going to have communion. We're going to just draw close to Jesus right now. Just us, right now. It's just us and Christ. We're home. We're home. And I just pray, dear God, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for us being here in your home. And it's just a building. Without you present here, Jesus, it's home when you're here. And we're here with you. And I just pray that in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I heard something last night, and the first thing we're going to talk about is freedom. And I'm a freedom lover. Ramsey was free. I've named my truck Freedom One. I got a 93 F-150 pickup truck. It's named Freedom One. And that was because if the old lady got too much on my case, I can get in my truck. It's four-wheel drive and I'm gone. Now, I say old lady. At that time I bought that truck, she was all of 30. But that was the rebellious, independent, it's Independence Day nature of Ramsey. Just, that's it. I got it. You know, that gets too much. Don't responsibility, too much of that, I'm gone. Whoop, see ya. And my, you know, and freedom to me was, I tell my family what I'm going to do, and I say, here's what I'm going to do, you come on board or I'll see ya. That's, you know, no compromise, no, just, I'm independent. I was independent my whole life. And I thought that was what freedom was. Last night at the concert, one of our singers in our band, he was talking about how 4th of July is his third favorite holiday. And he said, Easter, Christmas, and then 4th of July. And somebody said, freedom, man, it's about the freedom! Well, they didn't say it like that, but if I was a heckler, that's how I would have said it back then. And he said, but without Easter, there is no freedom. As simply as that. Without Easter, there is no, and I said, well, I should be done talking about freedom now. It's done. He said it last night. I heard it. And without Easter, there is no freedom. You know, there's some people that it's not just the stymie in their freedom, but there's an outright, God is an enemy to them. I came up through the rock recovery. I came up through addiction and alcoholism, and I work and talk a lot with addicts and alcoholics, and I'll hear them say that God's ruining my life, and I'll say, brother, sister, I don't think it's God. I think it's that heroin needle that's in your arm every day. You know, I really they have that. There's that out there, and it's in the Bible too. I'm going to read a verse out of the Bible, and this is going to be a little audience participation. Mac, you don't count. And I want you to tell me who it is. We're just going to do a little verse here. And this is a person that really felt before he met Christ that Christ was put on this earth to ruin his day. Not just his day, but to ruin his life. And I'm going to read this, and you guys just shout it out if you know who it is. Okay, here it is. I'm not even going to give you where it's at in the Bible. We'll start with that, and maybe if I need a clue. but blank, his name's not blank, began to destroy the church, going from, What did I hear? Oh, no. There. You didn't even need to finish. You guys are good. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off men and women and put them in prison. That's in Acts 8:3. That's a man who thinks, I wasn't quite that far, but I've met people that are that way, that the Lord was put on this earth to ruin their day, you know, and that's sad. Most of us kind of fall in a different category. I looked at, because I started going to church, you know, with my mom, a Catholic. I was brought up Catholic, and it was more of a ball and chain type of thing. I didn't really have the outright hatred for God, but it just was like it stymied my style. You know, I got, because when I was a kid, it was different. You know, I had to dress the same way as my little brother, who was a year and a half younger than me, to go to church. We wore the same little outfit, a bow tie, a bolo tie. You ever see those? With some, like, a steer horn thing on her. And the Brill cream in the hair. It was this whole thing to go to church. It's cramping my style. I'm all a six. You're really, you know. But, and that's how I kind of looked at it. I looked at God that way, stymieing my style, my freedom, kind of taken away from who, denying Ramsey being Ramsey, you know? Because he's got some perimeters, he's got some ruly things, and I got the way I live, and they just kind of didn't coexist. And I think that's talking to people at the Freedom Fest out there, I think there's a lot of that out there. I think there's just a lot of that, well, you know, I know there's a God. But do you really know him? Do you know who he is? Have you seen the face of God? And, well, you know, I kind of just, it's good enough just knowing there's one. It's good enough just knowing that he's out there. You know, let him do his thing. And I'm kind of doing my thing. And besides, you know where those potato things are that they fry up? You know where that booze at? You know, it's got an agenda. They got their own place to go. You know, and I think a lot of us are like that out there. Then some people, and I'm going to read out of John a little bit, some people look at Christ as, at the least, a cop. Like, you ever get that feeling like a traffic cop when you get lit up? Man, I got that feeling a lot in my life. You're driving along, and you got some guilt, you know. You might even have more than guilt in the car. You might have some other stuff in the car. But you got something in the car, and you're lit up. You know, it's red and blue and white, and the spotlight comes on, and it's like, whoa, that's not very freedom. That's the opposite of freedom, boy. You know, some people probably even look at, there was a time in their lives that they looked at Christ, I got these numbers, so good, as maybe an executioner. Maybe they looked at Christ as the judge, jury, and executioner. Until they met Christ. Go back a little bit, and Saul was that way, maybe. Saul really had a bad attitude towards Jesus. Really a bad attitude. Until he met Jesus. And what a meeting that was. Think of that meeting. Think about that, you know. Bright flashing light, knocked off your horse, blinded. Hello, I'm Jesus. I heard you had a problem with me. You know, that's a meeting. It wasn't that way with me, but it was more gradual. But, boy, that's a meeting. Huh? I'm gonna read a little bit about another lady that met Jesus one day, and try to put yourself in her shoes right now. When I read this, try to visualize what she was feeling, that fear, that uncertainty, that doom of this lady. I'm gonna read. Just take yourself and put yourself in her place right now. It's all in the book here. This is out of John 8. Start in verse 3. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write in the ground with his finger. They kept on questioning him, and he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this Those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up, asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." There was a woman. Oh, that's just giving me goosebumps right now. There's a woman that hadn't met Jesus yet, hadn't met the Lord, hadn't met Christ. And she walked into it with condemnation. And she found freedom. Now, that's real freedom right there. A life. So really, the detriment to freedom. So sin is the denier of freedom. Ultimately, that's just like the man said on the stage last night. It's our sin that keeps us in bondage. It's our sin that denies us from really living this life on this earth as God planned us to live it. That was my story. That was my case. I never knew I was so imprisoned until God, Jesus Christ, freed me from myself. I never, ever knew that I was so imprisoned with Ramsey. I was so imprisoned with me until I met Jesus. And he did for me what he did to that woman that day. He set her free, not only from them, but from her sin. And that's what Christ does for us. And that, to me, that's freedom on this Independence Day. And that's a pretty special deal that we have as Christians. And I pray that more will reach them tomorrow. We'll get some tomorrow at the booth. We'll let them know that, you know what, you're like me. You're running around waving the freedom flag, but you're still in prison, you know. It's not about this little shadow of time we have on earth. There's a bigger picture. And where are you going to be free ultimately? And I thank God I'm going to be free in heaven with Christ. So that brings us up to our next friendship. You have a friend in Jesus. You heard that. There's songs about that. Yeah, yeah, a friend in Jesus. I got a friend in Jesus. It's kind of nice. Like, what's that mean? You know, what does a friend mean in Jesus? First, let's look at Jesus. And if you're kind of new at Christianity and you kind of are like, what are these guys finding out about Jesus? He has a book out. It's called the Bible. And he's right in there. He does. He has this book out. It's been around. And really, I think it's like an autobiography. He really wants us to know him. And so he got a book out. And we do a lot of reading in the book out. We got it here. And so if you're not familiar with the book, you know, get together with any of us. And we've got life groups. We've got Bible studies. This is where we find out about Jesus. We don't find it out in some song or some poetry or something that's written, you know, that might not have the truth, because this has the truth. So we find out about Jesus in the Bible, the book he has out. And you might not have known that. I don't know. I'm glad I can enlighten you on that one. But we're going to do a little audience participation again. And there's going to be more than one answer on this one. We're going to hang from the rafters of this church right now some of the characteristics of Jesus Christ. What is he? Who? Some of you people who have read the book, let's throw some out there. What's Jesus like? Patient. Throw that up there. Patient. Huh? Kind. Humble. Loving. Merciful. Graceful. Truthful. Honest. Strong. Strong. Powerful. Gentle. Strong and gentle. Boy, how does that work? Side by side. Strong and gentle. Just awesome. Loyal. I love that. That's you see, you getting a picture of this now? If you were to design a friend, wouldn't those be the characteristics you'd want in your friend? Is that friend material? Huh? That's friend material. You know, I fall short being friends in that a lot. You know, and we all do. But look at Christ, who he is. Best friend material. Not just friend material, but best friend material. He's up here. You just put all of his characters right above us right now. He's here. That's best friend material. That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing that we do have a friend in Jesus. And he's a best friend. You know? Wow. Those are some pretty cool characters. We got that up there. He's in the house. That's who's the friend of us right now. We're under him right now. All that. I'm going to read to you out of John 21. I love that. I talked to Matt. I got all excited about this. Because this is, I got to set the scene a little bit. Okay. This is the last chapter in John 21. So we know from reading before that there are some things that happened before this. There's a lot of things. Jesus burst onto the scene, picked some disciples, some apostles. They ministered with him. What do they see? John says at the end of the book that if I wrote everything down that Jesus did, the earth couldn't hold the books. That's pretty, he did a lot. Well, he didn't muddle around. He did a lot of things while he was here in that short time. We put it in year spans, but those guys were witnesses to a lot of things, miracles after miracles, feeding thousands, walking on water. I mean, it goes on and on and on. He did a lot of things. And then the Last Supper, the crucifixion, the death of Jesus, the resurrection. He's already shown himself to these gentlemen, these disciples, these apostles, two times already. And so they were at the stage. So after all that, this is kind of like it's kind of like a big version of our little microcosm right now. We just had getting set for the festival, preparing, stages were built, bands were set up, schedules were made. We did the Freedom Fest concerts, the booth, water, we need ice. And now here we are. All that's kind of today, we're just here. Deep breath, everybody, come on. Okay, we're just here. And that's where these guys are. These guys are right there in that. Just all this has just happened, and now it's deep breath. What do we do now? This is so cool, because I'm going to start in three, because I like to just start. Deep breath, they're all together. Seven of them are together right now, and they're probably just standing there, and what do we do now? And then one of them says, I'm going out to fish. Just said it. Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. That, I mean, it's in quotes and there's an apostrophe. He didn't just say, oh, it's the Lord. It's the Lord! Like that. And say it. It's the Lord! There you go. See there? Did you catch that, though? Did you catch this little thing that happened? Okay, they didn't know it was Jesus. They're fishermen. This is their job. They know what they're doing. But they had a bad night. And some guy on the shore, 100 yards off, yells to him, hey, throw it over the other side. And what did they do? They didn't mock it. They didn't question it. They didn't say, who is that? What's he know? They had gone through all this other stuff. They had probably said in their mind, we've seen stranger things. And they threw it over. And they caught fish. So the deal is that an act of faith leads to recognition of the Lord. They acted in faith. And it led to them, that's the Lord. See there? Same thing in my life. You know, the other day, I came up, I was an addict and an alcoholic. I started drinking at 13, 1973. And my alcoholism got so bad that my solution was to turn to crystal meth for 14 years. That's an alcoholic thinking. Those beers are my problem. I should smoke meth, you know? And I'm not just going to do it for a year. I'm going to keep trying until everything's gone. Oblivion. And when you drink and drug that long and that hard, it imprints in your brain. I will always have that addict mentality. That will always be there, you know, and I accept that today. I fought that. You know, I wanted to be cured, and I don't. That's why I do rock recovery. That's why I do a lot of recovery. I will never be cured completely. I get a state of grace one day at a time based on my spiritual condition. That's what I get, and I love it. Thank you, Lord. But sometimes when things start to build up a lot, I will, it's just, they call it jonesing. I will taste it. I will know what it does for me. I will crave it. I will want it. And it doesn't happen very often anymore. I've been clean and sober for going on 7 years now, or be 7 years. But anyway, the other day, we had this deadline. We had 40 houses we had to get done before the 26th. I missed the church camp out. I'm sorry. But, you know, there was just commitment. I had to do these houses. It has to do with the government. It has to do with contracts being done. And it just was just pressure. And I walked out of a house, and I work alone a lot, which is kind of, sometimes it's a blessing, but with this here up here, sometimes it's not so good. So I walked out, and I got to my truck, and I went and opened the passenger door up, and I just collapsed against the seat, the passenger seat. I'm standing outside the truck, and I'm just laying over the seat, and I'm praying. I just prayed, and it wasn't the real humble, grateful kind of prayer. It was like, God, I'm hurting. You know, I'm pondering to go get some beer to relieve the meth cravings. You know, that's where I'm at. How many beers can I have before I lose everything again? I'm in that state of mind. And I act in faith. I just go to him. I just say, God, I am hurting. I am falling to pieces, God. And I didn't say, please send me an angel. I said, I need an angel now. And the thing about it is I have a work phone, and I hate phones, but I have three when I'm on working, which is insane. So I have the work phone, I have an on-call phone, and I have a personal phone, and I never, ever, ever, if it's during the workday, you'll never get me on my personal phone. You'll leave a message, and I'll call you back at the end of the workday. It's just the way it is. But because I leave that in my truck, and because I was leaning in my truck, right when I said, God, I need an angel, the phone rang, my personal phone rang. And I looked at it, and it was Mac. And it was Mac thanking me for leading the announcements on a Friday and asking me to do this. I acted in faith, and I recognized the Lord. And I know Mac's not the Lord, but the Lord works through Mac pretty well in my life. That's what a friend does. That's what Jesus does. He's my friend. He hears me call. And he sends a solution. Perfect timing. Sometimes I don't think it's soon enough, but that day, it was perfect timing. I try to recognize the Lord in more things in my life now. You know, not just in the crises, but in other things, you know. I got a little ritual I do. I planted a little garden out in the backyard. I get to work. I get up at like 5, and I try to get out of the house by 5:45, and I'll go back in the backyard and just take a little God time, a little quiet time, and look at the garden. You know, just kind of look and see what grew overnight. I check it every day. I don't know. It's not that. But I see, I notice the little things that happen. A little tomato, you know, going, a little zucchini coming, you know. And I try to recognize the Lord in more things. And I kind of do it quietly because it's 5:45 a.m. and my neighbors are out, you know, or whatever. But I should really, like, look and say, tomato! I see the Lord. Zucchini, there is the Lord. You know, I'm afraid if I do it like that, that like I'll be getting a visit from like Utah Mental Health, you know, because I got a cop that lives across the street, and I know that that's going to happen. But I do it quietly, like, wow, God, there's another tomato. There's a zucchini. So, you know, I try to recognize my faith in a lot more things today. I just do. Where's it's the Lord moments in your life, you know? Do you have them? We do. Do we recognize them? That's the difference. It's the Lord moments. Think about those. Think about those this weekend, what we've had. Think about just that right there, what John yelled out. It is the Lord. I got to get back to the story, too. But think about that. I got off a little bit on the it's the Lord moment. I think it's important. I think it's important for those it's the Lord moments. Because they're everywhere. They're all over. They're like molecules in the air. It's the Lord moment. But it's us. It's like they send out TV signals. Well, now it's cable. Bummer. But the radio, your radio. There's signals going out. Whether it's turned on or not or tuned into that station, that's up to us. The Lord is, it's the Lord moments everywhere. Let's get back to the story because this is amazing. Now, you're going to have to visualize this. Just go there in this story. Go there right now and see what this probably looked like. Just put yourself in one of the disciples' places right now. This is so cool. I love it. Okay, so then the disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him and he had taken off and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. Think about that. Do we do that? Well, we're not going to stampede to communion like that, but I mean, Simon Peter, oh, hey, I'm out of here, guys. Bring that boat in. That's the Lord. I'm heading for shore. And I'm sure he wasn't backstroking or just, that guy was going to give the Olympic swimmers a run for their money. He's gone to the Lord. It's the Lord. So they tow the boat in, which wasn't far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fight. This is the part. This is it. Think of that. They get to the shore, and then what do they see? When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. This is it. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Is that a friend? Come have some breakfast. I got some fish on, some bread. Chill. Let's just sit around the campfire here a little bit on the shore of the lake. That's a friend. That's not an executioner. That's not a traffic cop. That's not a guy out to ruin your day or your life. That's a best friend. That is an absolute best friend. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" Wouldn't that have been preposterous? "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This is now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Me and Mac were talking a little bit, and I think the next camp out we're going to just do that. We're going to get up early, early like Sunday morning, maybe bake some bread in the Dutch ovens and get some fish over the charcoal and read John 21. Just have a little communion that way. It'd be pretty cool. Anyway, that's a friend, you know, and that's the friend I have in Jesus. And I pray that if you don't know him, that you do, that you find that friend. I think we're going to take a little time out now. So here's the question for communion. Now that we know what kind of friend Jesus is, the question is, what kind of friend am I to Jesus? That's where I could work. Maybe when we come up for communion and we have a little quiet time, and we ponder that a little bit. Maybe what kind of friend am I to Jesus? I know I could be a better one. I know absolutely I could be a better one. And I thank God he put me here at the Rock. He put me with loving brothers and sisters that are slowly but surely teaching me how to be a better friend to Jesus. That's really what I want out of this life now, was just to be a better friend to Jesus. Because if I am a better friend to Jesus, I'm a better friend to everyone. I'm a better father. I'm a better ex-husband. I'm a better son. I'm a better employee. I'm a better everything. Not a better driver, but that will come. But I'm a better everything. So maybe when we get up to do some communion, we can ponder that. Why don't we get up now? And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you might want to not partake in the communion and kind of just sit back and listen. But for those that have accepted Jesus Christ, maybe we'll get up now and get our bread and our juice. It's just some bread and some juice, and we'll have communion.